The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 24. That's right, 24 whole episodes of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. I am John Horstman. With me, of course, Kevin Hovdestad, Jimmy Bloxham. Hey guys, how you doing? Good to see you. And we're really excited. We've got a special guest this week. So if you haven't been following the Overwatch esports scene as it's kind of gone through the progression during the beta, you know, we've got some pretty big tournaments coming up, and the biggest of tournaments is going to be the Agents Rising tournament presented by Dolby. And one of the shoutcasters, Jamerson, is here with us this week to talk about all the great things Overwatch and Overwatch esports. Jamerson, welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. Unfortunately, you know, you guys weren't able to have fish sticks, but hey, I think I make a good substitute, and I'm really excited to talk about Overwatch with you and especially talk about Agents Rising with you guys.
Absolutely. This is going to be awesome. Awesome. And obviously, it's been a big week. It's not just huge for Overwatch esports, but The game's live, guys. The game is finally live. We're playing the game. I'm losing sleep, threatening being fired at my job. This is huge. And so we're really excited to talk about the launch podcast of The Payload. Post-launch, it's all live. We can talk about everything. It's all out in there. But man, whew, I don't even know where to start. Where do we start? Jamerson, why don't we start with you here? For those who aren't familiar, I know that you've casted CSGO in the past, correct? That was your game before Overwatch?
That is true, yes. I did a lot of Counter-Strike casting with the Esports Arena on their weekly Counter-Strike tournaments along with their 5K Open tournament.
Awesome, awesome. So for you, are you still going to keep doing some Counter-Strike stuff, or are you really making a hard turn into Overwatch?
No, Overwatch is my baby. I'm amazing. Making the full commitment now, and I'm really excited to see where it goes, and I'm on for the ride.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, we're so excited to have you already. I mean, we've only got to hang out for like the last 15, 20 minutes, but I'm sold. You're my new favorite shoutcaster for Overwatch, so GG's.
There we go.
GG's.
Winky face.
Awesome. Winky face. There it is. Oh, man.
That was the first thing I bought, by the way, with gold in the game, was that emote.
Yep, I got the winky face one, and I actually got, there's another amazing one, no May jokes there. I forget what it is. I'm gonna come back. I have to look. I'm gonna actually pull open Overwatch because I got so many different troll emotes and things like that. It's just been amazing. For when I die, because I'm not even that good. All right. So Jamerson, CSGO into Overwatch. You're all about your casting at Esports Arena this weekend. We're going to go into it a little bit later, but if you can give us just the hype now about the Esports Arena event with Agents Rising, just kind of what it is and lay it all out there.
Yeah, so Agents Rising is going to be our first production for an Overwatch event. We do want to have more in the future, and this is kind of like our test run. And when we brought it up, we initially thought, hey, we'll have 8 teams. That's cool. Now it's ballooned up to 29 teams competing.
Jeez.
And we've got all sorts of backers. We've got Dolby, Rocket, Soylent, tons of backers right now, and it just grew into something amazing. And when I do get to talk to you guys more about that, I am super excited. There are so many details that I can go into right now, but I know we do have other things to talk about first.
All right, let's do it. Let's talk about the news.
This week in Overwatch.
It's here.
Yay, finally.
It's here. It's literally here. So I just want to hear about your guys' week in Overwatch. Jamerson, I want to give you the honorary first ever how my week was in Overwatch spiel post-launch. That's a big honor, by the way. We normally hand out a trophy, but it's in the mail.
Well, I can definitely make space for it back here. Once you do get the trophy in, just let me know. But currently so far, my week in Overwatch has been amazing. It's kind of been like, you know, you just got back into school from summer break. You're kind of like, oh, okay, I guess we're going back to school. But hey, I get to see all my friends. This is going to be amazing. Unfortunately, though, all my friends are going to be competing this weekend. So they're all scrimming right now. But hey, it's so great to be back playing Overwatch again. You know, all the characters, you come to love them and you want to see them every day. But 2 weeks off, and it was one of the hardest things to do. But seeing everything from the launch events, you know, I believe Cal State Fullerton had a 500 people attend their launch event.
Wow.
There was the Coke screenings, right, all across the nation. And then, of course, you had like the monthly Melee tournament over the last 2 days, which was just amazing Overwatch to watch. And I can't believe I was able to survive those 2 weeks.
Yeah, barely made it. Crawled in. I feel you. Just kind of pulling the nails right off the fingers, just trying to hang on. I get it. Well, okay. So side question, do you have a favorite hero in Overwatch? Do you have a personal favorite, one that you like to run the most?
To play the most, it's going to be Roadhog. Roadhog is definitely my favorite.
Awesome. Is there a different one for like just overall story, or is it just you all Roadhog all the way?
In terms of character, I love Junkrat the most, honestly.
All right. The Aussies. I like it. Very good. All right, Kevin, how about you, man? What was your week like in Overwatch? Hey, by the way, good to see you.
You too. Yeah, sorry. We're all just Jamerson hype and I'm just sitting here soaking it up, right? So, no, it's been nuts. Like, it's super exciting that the game is out. I picked up a copy for PC. I picked up a copy for Xbox. My collector's edition is still in the mail. Thanks, Canada Post. So we can't actually do the Origins Edition giveaway tonight that I had hoped to do, but I'll just put it out there right now. If you are a listener of the show, join us live next week at the usual time. We push the show back an hour this week because in my non-gaming life, I still try to do like something periodically to make myself feel like I'm a good person. So I volunteered at an animal shelter. I had to push the show back so I could go to a thing there tonight. Next week, 7 p.m. Pacific time, we'll do the giveaway as part of the live show next week. And I'll give away the license to my Origin Edition copy on PC. So, yeah, I played a ton. I think the saddest part of my life is that the unlocks I'm getting on one platform don't carry to the other. So I'm trying to like balance my time and level up on both, which is maybe making me put in more hours than I would have liked. But I've played a ton, having a really good time with it. My friends list lights up every night at about 5 o'clock. Yes. There'll be, you know, like 100 people online on my friends list and like 45 of them are playing Overwatch. I get online and I get invited to 6 different groups instantly. Like it's awesome. And for me, the thing that's crazy about that is I know Blizzard's games get this reception, right? I know they get that big launch excitement, but it feels like it's going to stick. Like I remember the first week of Diablo 3 when it came out and everybody was kind of like, oh, well, is that it? I don't know. Whereas this one, it's like, everybody I talk to, they're just constantly sharing their play of the game clips and everybody's talking about it all the time. It has so much momentum right now. I have no idea how anyone's ever going to stop playing it. Like I'm losing sleep. I'm staying up way past my bedtime every night playing. It's crazy. It's making me nuts, but I love
it. Yeah, it's pretty similar for me as well. I mean, pretty much every night I've gone on and played Overwatch. I mean, every week I always cast Heroes Hype on Wednesday nights, but as soon as I was done that stream, I immediately launched up Overwatch and got instantly invited into a group. And I guess too much of a good thing kind of frustration that I'm having, like Kevin said, your friends list just completely lights up with people playing Overwatch. Is I have all these people wanting to play Overwatch with me who didn't play during the beta, and I'm like, oh, I'm already in a full group, I can't play with you. Sorry. So it's a little bit of a bummer in that respect, but it's a good problem to have in this game. And but yeah, like Kevin said, the instant I launch the game, I don't have to wait 30 seconds and someone's inviting me to a group, which is really awesome because the game is significantly better in a group
And as far as crazy social, like it's so good that way. And the built-in voice client has worked super well, which I know everybody, when we talked, like when Battle.net started rolling that out, we were all kind of like, I don't know if anyone's actually going to use that. Like, why would anyone move away from their Skypes or their Discords or their Mumbles or their Curse Voice or their yada yada? Like, there's a thousand other ways to get that service, but I don't bother. Like, the in-game one is super good.
It's we've been using Discord, but I mean, yeah, the in-game one is really good and solid as well.
It's plenty robust enough. Like, you can use other services if you want, especially if you're talking to people who are playing non-Overwatch games, but that's a funny joke.
Yeah, we were in Discord just because there's a lot of people that just want to like hang out. Even people who weren't playing, they're just going to spectate for a little bit. They hop in Discord so they can hear everyone talking and kind of chat back and forth. But it's been such a really, it's been an absolute joy. Do you guys know how much money I've spent on Overwatch so far?
I don't want to know.
You know, it's funny. I blew so much money on all the other Blizzard games. I'm not tempted at all in Overwatch. Like, I have no interest.
I have a collector's edition. I have an Origins edition. And then I got I bought 50 loot boxes. I just needed to make sure the in-game transactions worked. It was a test. Well, it was for science.
Thank you.
I am like Winston. I am a scientist. And so I needed to know. And I got some really cool. I got the Reinhardt skin. I got the Blackbeard, the Blackbeard, oh my God, Torbjorn skin. I got the, I always forget what I call it, but it's like the Sphinx Zenyatta skin and a couple Zenyatta. Other ones. And is that what it is?
That's what I call it, but I think it's just raw.
Oh yeah, raw. It is. I think that might be right. Yeah, so I've spent so much money on it already. Even Katie, Katie is level 15 already in Overwatch.
Higher than me.
My girlfriend, never played a shooter in her life, is level 15. In fact, she's in the other room playing right now. She's absolutely addicted, which is, I think, one of the coolest things about Overwatch so far is people like Katie are picking it up, who she's only played like Legend of Zelda and Pokemon, and going, I love this world enough that I want to put myself into a position of being a FPS player for the first time. And that's a rough place to be in to start. We all remember our first FPS, and you know, that's tough to get into at first. So absolutely. Go ahead.
I got to ask, are you ring shopping yet?
Oh yeah. Actually the collector's edition I bought her was,
well, she's not watching, so she won't hear that. So
she didn't want a ring. She wanted a collector's edition.
Pretend it never happened. It's fine.
No. Thanks. I'm going to have a conversation in a couple days when she listens to it.
Yeah.
All right.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the theater event. It was pretty fun. I think most of them sold out. It was basically just all the cinematics and a lot of the other video shorts they've done in a dev interview, which was kind of weak. Honestly, like Michelle Morrow asked, the same question like 15 different ways, I feel like, to them, and didn't really get too deep of an answer. But anyways, what we got was they gave us these cups. There's a Widowmaker one brought to you by Coke Esports, and there was also a Tracer one as well. So those who went got to get one of these, and I fortunately was able to get both of them because we knew someone at the theater who grabbed them for us. But yeah, it was fun to just celebrate the launch, and they gave away a collector's edition at the event. I didn't win it, but that's fine. I'm not going to worry too much about that.
Yeah, it was. I was a little bit disappointed with what everybody expected beyond what Blizzard said the event would be, because it was exactly what they said. Like, people are like all pumped about new heroes. They're like, they're going to announce a new hero at it. And this is going to be the most revealing dev interview ever in an exclusive 100 theater event. And it's just kind of like, I get it. I'm all for optimism, and I'm probably one of the worst when it comes to, you know, dreaming big at these types of things. But man, like, I was really disappointed with, like, you guys said there'd be exclusive swag and all I got was a cup and I had to pay for the Coke. I was like, what? What do you expect? They said exclusive.
It was a $10 ticket. What do you expect? Like, I don't know.
For 2 hours of shorts and hanging out with a bunch of people hyped about Overwatch. Totally worth it for me. I don't need the cups. Those are cool add-ins. I would have done it just to be with the people.
Yeah. I actually had like a rather large group of friends that went, but unfortunately I was not able to because, well, I'm preparing for Agents Rising, but it seemed like a really fun event just to be able to share this experience with a theater full of people and rewatch those animated shorts. I mean, I know I still rewatch most of them like every other day just because they're amazing. And then to be able to experience that in a theater, that's fantastic.
You know, the thing about it for me, like we didn't have one here and I was obviously disappointed,
Canada.
But the thing about it for me is watch it. There were some in Canada. Calm your boots. No, the thing about it. Shush. You. The thing about it for me is I have so many incredible memories of like midnight launch events for different games over the years and getting to go and meet the people who play the games I play from where I am, you know, like getting to know the other people who stood out in the freezing cold to pick up the Burning Crusade at midnight and race home to install it and play it. Like that was such a huge like cultural experience. You got to meet all these new people. You got to know who else was in your community that played these games and share the experience of like the launch of a game, right? Which now for the most part really doesn't happen anymore. Like the game goes live at 12:01 or whatever at home. It's already pre-installed on my computer and I load it up and yeah, like I talk to my friends online while I play, but I never get that cool in person, we all get to get hyped up and share our experiences and meet new people experience. Like that just isn't something that happens anymore because physical game launches aren't really a thing anymore. So I watched this from afar and thought like, yeah, I would love for Blizzard and everybody else, frankly, to be doing stuff like this. Like celebrate the launch of your game some other way. Put on these panels, put on, you know, the cinematics and do an event and get people amped up, especially because that's the only way you're going to meet new people in your new game space. Like I know tons of people. We started a club on Facebook called Snoverwatch for people who play Overwatch in Western Canada. Yeah. So that's how I'm going to meet new people is they're going to join Snoverwatch.
I got you. Don't worry, chat. I got you. The buttons are hot tonight. We'll be using them a lot.
Thanks, buddy.
I have a new pre-workout routine of things that I get hyped for. And for me, it's just a gif of Soldier 76 beating the guy in the head with a pinata, a burning pinata. So I'm all about that. So I'm right with you. Got to get pumped, get hyped. Ah, man, so much stuff to talk about. So Overwatch, this is kind of cool. Overwatch is at a 93 right now on Metacritic, which is pretty insane for a game that doesn't really have a built-in story mode. And I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that. What do you guys think it means for Overwatch coming in really hot on Metacritic and the critic reviews, even the user reviews? What do you think it might mean for the game? I was on Convert to Raid this last week, and Sharku said game of the year ? And I was wondering, what do you guys think?
I think it's a little too early to be calling game of the year as much as we love Overwatch.
Sweeping declaration, Jimmy.
Let's give it a couple more weeks before we declare that. But anyways, about the Metacritic score, they actually have a thing on the site where you can see the last 90 days of scores. Overwatch is tied for number one in scores. And this is going up against games like Witcher 3, Dark Souls 3, Doom, Tales from the Borderlands, I mean, all sorts of incredible games, and they're right there at the top, which is an incredible feat, and really just shows that Blizzard, like we all know, knows how to put out an incredibly polished game.
I don't even think that's the most exciting part, to be honest, is how well it's doing right now, or like the specious, is it the game of the year talk? Like really for me, this is not about like, is this a good game right now? It's about, is this a good game in the broad spectrum of the concept of games, especially as Blizzard's first entry into a genre that they haven't done anything in ever in their 25 years of developing games. Overwatch right now is sitting in the top 25 all time PC games on Metacritic. It's one of the highest ranked games ever. And it like at a 93, it shares 93 with like Grand Theft Auto 3, Minecraft, UT 2004, right? Like games that are celebrated and have been historical in what they've done to different genres or to gaming as a whole. There's only a handful of things that are above a 93 ever, and they're games that, I mean, and anybody who wanted to could just go down the list, right? Like Half-Life 2, GTA 5, Portal, Mass Effect, like stuff that just, again, really defined a whole generation of gaming. And that's the kind of company that this game is keeping. I honestly think that if it had a single player component of any kind, if there was any story element to it whatsoever that could allow people who don't want to play a multiplayer shooter to experience this world and these characters, it would have done even better and would be, we wouldn't be talking about game of the year. We'd be talking about one of the greatest games of all time, as if we're not already, but like even more so.
Jamerson, what do you think, man?
I definitely do believe that the 93 score on Metacritic is definitely deserved. You know, with the way the closed beta started off, we already had this very polished product, and all the feedback that Blizzard received, they acted upon, and now with the launch, we see it's come to fruition, and the multiplayer is definitely amazing. I was playing, you know, I probably logged about 200 hours alone during the beta, and I've already got my money's worth at this point, you know, even buying the collector's edition. While I would love a single player component, because the world of Overwatch is just so deep and rich, and they've done a fantastic job with the animated shorts, with the comics, that I would cry if they said, hey, here's some DLC and we're going to have a campaign mode. You guys enjoy. And, you know, with the model that they've already set, you know, they have already said, oh, you don't have to pay for any DLC, any new characters, whatever. It's a one-time fee and you're set. I believe throwing in some sort of, yeah, single player component would make it game of the year for sure. And if, like Kevin said, possibly one of the greatest games of all time.
I really hope that Overwatch sets a tone for a shift in gaming. And what I mean is Overwatch is really, from any piece of research I've been able to do, is the first truly multimedia IP designed from launch. In other words, it was designed, you almost, like, I feel like you should include the shorts in the comics and the world in the review of the game in a little bit. And I don't think the gaming industry is totally up to speed with that yet. Like, you're not, it's not a 93 on Metacritic because of the awesome shorts and things, because, you know, Metacritic's about the game and the gameplay, and, you know, and sure there's things there, but man, I love the fact that right now it reminds me that the best draw I can have is Zelda. There are a lot of people who love Zelda and love the world, read everything about it, watch every video, movie, TV show adaptation ever made, own all this clothing, and they may or may not have actually played Zelda. And Overwatch can be that to like an even further degree, because again, you're not getting story, you're not getting, except for like the little banter at the beginning, it's literally what you have from the shorts, from the info that we have on websites and what people are piecing together. And it's just, it's so incredible. And even for Katie, it's like, Katie's like, I want to play these characters because of the lore and the world that Blizzard's built. And I don't know that even websites like Metacritic and these juries that are going to be picking game of the year are fully gauged into that. If they are, I'm missing it, but I would really encourage them to look even deeper at what Overwatch is doing. And people want to consume their games outside of the game. Like, I'm one of those people where sometimes in Hearthstone, I'd much prefer watching a stream or a tournament than even playing it. And Overwatch can be that way too. I'd much rather read some of those comics sometimes, that, you know, 11:30 at night, pull up some comics or watch a short, then go over to my PC, boot it up, and, you know, go rock some noobs, whatever. So
in fairness, I think this is probably one of the first true examples in the industry of an actually multimedia franchise from day zero, right? Most of the gaming industry's historical references in that way are either games that eventually led to other franchised products that existed outside of the gaming space, right? Stuff like the Warcraft movie or novelizations that came out about different games or game worlds, right? It's easy to go pick up a book about a whole bunch of different game franchises now because they have stories written about their characters that transcend the game itself, or the inverse, right? You have games that flow from existing franchises. You read a comic in the 1950s and now we've made a video game about it or whatever. Like that flow back and forth has always existed, but there's really never been, in the way that we're getting with Overwatch, such a very specific effort to say, no, there's going to be these animated shorts, there's going to be these comics, there's going to be this feature-length Pixar quality movie. And all of those things happening in tandem with the game, right? Like, it's always kind of been, I mean, even Blizzard's games have had like cute little cinematics in them that are really well done, but they're just self-contained as a part of the game experience, not something that is above and beyond what you would actually get as opposed, like the cinematics in StarCraft are a transition from point A of the campaign to point B in the campaign. These shorts in Overwatch have nothing to do with my gameplay experience. They're a totally independent product. And that's new. That's really different. So I think you're right. Like, it's tough to evaluate those as part of the game because they're not. But you really need to include them when you are evaluating the franchise.
Yep.
On top of that, I think we almost have to look at it in a way that we kind of review MMOs, because in the sense that this isn't the finished product, what we got. There's so much more planned for the future, just gameplay wise. But also story-wise as well. I mean, they have kind of reiterated that this is the first season of digital shorts, which obviously implies that we're going to be getting more in the future, as well as the comics. So there's going to be more expanded upon in the lore, and obviously more coming in the game. We didn't even touch on the fact that they are going to be getting competitive back into the game, most likely at the end of June, it sounds like. So it's only a couple weeks away pretty much, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, the future of this game is crazy bright, I feel like, and I am so excited to be a part of it, and it's just awesome.
It's tough to evaluate that, right? Because game that comes out is a finished product anymore. Like that era has ended. You know, we were lucky in a lot of ways that we got a polished, playable thing that was playable from the moment it went live, not here's your day zero patch that needs to have a gig of new data downloaded and all the pre-existing DLC that's already built in. Like, this was just like, no, here's the game, go play it. They had to dial back on stuff like having competitive mode in at launch, but I mean, every game is an evolving product like that. I think we just have to accept that what we got is awesome, and we all know that Blizzard is not the type of company to just say, oh yeah, okay, that was nice, we released it, let's go do something else now. Like, that's not the company we're dealing with.
Yeah, and that reminds me, I mean, we didn't even touch on this at all because, I guess it just because it wasn't an issue, but the servers haven't really had problems at all, which is incredible, like, for a Blizzard, for any big game launch with this much hype. I mean, we haven't really talked about it just because there were no problems.
Yeah, I have a friend who's actually a server engineer at Blizzard. He's been there for a little under 2 years, maybe. And he sent me a message the other day that was just like, yep, nope. I went home, went to bed. Nobody called me that night. Like, just not an issue. They were so prepared and so ready that, like, there were no fires to put out. It was obviously, like, with the sheer load, there were people who were getting, like, queues or little bugs and stuff. But it wasn't like, oh, we crashed the servers, there's going to be no Overwatch until, you know, May 29th. Like, it was just, yeah, no, it runs. It's fine.
Yeah,
I think the huge open beta let them do a lot of stress testing.
Well, and I think we had like 15 minutes at the very beginning where it was like, I'm kind of in, I'm waiting to connect and whatever. And then boom, we were in, no issues at all. I mean, we played for about 6 hours that night. I streamed for five. You know, that Minnesota accent in me still comes up from time to time. And I think we had like two disconnects, which have been really sporadic, but like really, really super rare, which honestly, I was expecting half the time to be hanging out in Discord with friends trying to connect to the game and being totally ready and prepared and okay with that.
Yeah, we were so spoiled. Like, compare that to the launch of any other major game that actually had real issues. Like, did you guys try to play like the last Sim City when Maxis put that out, and it just didn't work for days at a time.
Like, that was awful.
There's been so many studios that have put out games where like the first week is just nope. And even on console, you see that sometimes. And like my first experience was actually console. I bought my Xbox copy and started playing it right away when the servers came up, and it just nothing. Like everything was perfect from minute one. I jumped in, I skated around as Lucio and knocked a bunch of people off ledges because they didn't have their sensitivity turned up yet. It was great.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I haven't actually had a chance to play into the PS4 version since launch. I've just been playing PC exclusively.
Katie ran around the house when she got her first play of the game. It was adorable. I tried to get it on video. She was so freaking excited.
What do you mean you tried?
Son,
I am disappointed.
I mean, I know. I tried. All I can say is I tried.
You can exit out of the game and go to the highlights and grab it.
Well, Katie running around. So excited she got her quad kill with Bastion. She has antique Bastion. Hey, first shooter.
Controversy.
First shooter, okay? And she also, like, three games later, got it with D.Va. So
I love Bastion. I don't have a problem with it at all. I enjoy people's the flavorful tears. There was a review that Jimquisition gave Overwatch a 9 out of 10. And even in his review, he beaked on Bastion and Torbjorn a bunch, being like, there's really no place for these in a game like this. And I was just like, oh, guys, can we talk about anything else? Anything else in these reviews other than Bastion? That would make me so happy.
There was there was one theater in Colorado that had the Overwatch short showings, and it was actually, there's actually a thread on the Overwatch subreddit about how great of an experience it was. And they're talking about how when people would come in, they were clapping for them, and then it asked them their favorite hero, and they'd be like, yeah, that's awesome, and cheer them on. One guy said Bastion, and the whole theater was completely quiet. It was just like,
yeah. So every time there was a picture of Bastion on the screen, everyone booed or yelled "Play the game" or something like that. It was really silly. But that's, yeah,
funny.
Okay, whoever at Coke Esports I have to talk to, please, no more Thunder Six in a theater. Just no, please no.
Ooh. All right.
Ooh.
Also, guys, Snapchat filter.
Thought that was a very filter. Interesting cross promotion thing for Overwatch. I mean, Snapchat definitely skews towards the younger audience, so I think that's good exposure for Overwatch there. I mean, it was right there on the front of the screen, and those filters are a super popular part of Snapchat and a good chunk of why people download Snapchat and play with it. So I think it was great. I mean, I have no idea how much it cost Blizzard. It must cost them an arm and a leg to be that first one on there, but
it was actually Junkrat and Torbjorn's legs, one of each.
Oh, yes, that is true.
One of each.
Speaking of promotions as well, they had, we didn't even talk about this yet, but the giant statues in Hollywood, France, and Korea.
Yeah.
Which was so really cool.
I just want to know what they're doing with those, because, like, I haven't seen them on eBay yet, and like Blizzard, if you're listening, there's a real nice spot over like next to my pantry where that like would fit just very nicely. I don't even care which one. I'm flexible.
Yeah. Okay. Like, you have a ceiling tall enough. Okay.
I have nice high ceilings.
Well, I think they're articulated, so you could like sit it down.
What?
At your counter.
There
they
you
look
go.
Articulated.
Yeah, that's totally true. Oh my gosh, this is so funny.
Gosh, the amount of cross promotion they did for this game, just, they went all
amazing
out.
I promotion.
Mean, they had the Conan thing. I haven't even watched that yet, but they also had a thing on they also had a thing on Jimmy Kimmel, and they had a segment.
They were both so bad.
It was really bad. Like, so, I don't even know, man. Like,
if they're of all of the promotion things, the Conan thing was funny. But if someone hasn't seen the Conan reviews video games and knows that he's not really reviewing video games, he's basically making jokes about them, there's a lot of people who are really upset. And I was like, what did you expect? It was Conan. Like, I don't think anyone should have been surprised by that. But it was funny. Like, Peter Dinklage is really funny in that video. He's really It was really good. The Jimmy Kimmel one was so dumb, though. That was, in my opinion, awful. My least favorite. It's just like, I'm going to pretend to control you in the thing and stuff. And he goes, move to the left, move to the right. And then he's like, oh, cool. I mean, sure, cool. There's a guy dressed up as Tracer. Pretty impressive cosplay, giving some of the cosplayers a run for their money. But I was just like, what is going on? So I'd say those were like maybe the two weakest things I saw from promotion. Stick to Snapchat filters, I would say.
I mean, I think it's just cool because it got the game in front of a huge audience, right? And Blizzard's been doing a really good job of that with all of their games, right? Here is the Storm being on ESPN, Hearthstone getting all the huge murals and big reveals and stuff all over the world. Big celebratory launch events for their games. Like, I don't think any other game studio is doing anything even close to the level of PR for their games that Blizzard is doing right now. And Overwatch is just like the latest example of how hardcore their marketing department is. I mean, it's up there with, like, do you guys remember the stuff they did for like Warlords of Draenor with the enormous gore howl in downtown New York and stuff? Like, crazy. And the pictures and the stuff that circulates when they do that are unreal. Like, people are so just blown away at it. Games have that kind of cachet now, but in reality, I mean, I've never been more happy to like be like, oh yeah, I play that game, I'm super excited about that, that's something that I identify with. And now it's just it's out in the public eye all the time in a way that isn't necessarily Jimmy Kimmel cringeworthy. Most of it's really good.
Yeah, for sure. All right, one last thing to talk about before we jump in and talk about Overwatch esports. So Torbjorn comic. This one kind of flew out of left field, I think, a little bit. There was just so much going on. It really just kind of flew under some people's radars. But holy crap, actually, I think I'm going to be bold here, but I think my favorite comic of all the comics, I would say the Torbjorn one was my favorite. But I want to know what you guys thought on the comic overall. Jimmy, did you get a chance to read it?
I actually didn't.
Oh no.
Oh man. Like, we've been playing Overwatch, and I know it came out I think slightly before Overwatch came out, but I've just been so busy that I haven't had a chance to sit down and read it.
You're getting the boo.
I know. But if it's the best comic yet, I will go check it out.
I think so. That one and Orion Heart are so freaking good. What about Kev? Did you get a chance?
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly still just, I liked the McCree one, and nothing that they've done since has really like overtaken it for me. They're all good. They're all awesome. I stand by what we've said every time one of these comes out. Like, I want a physical one in my hand that has like new comic smell. That's the most important thing in my life right now, is getting the physical thing in my hands. But I don't know. I think it's just each one of them has its own identity a little bit, right? Like, the visual styling and detail in this one was different than the other ones in a way that I appreciate. But I mean, I think part of it is also just Torbjorn wasn't like one of the characters I was massively excited about originally. So the comic, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool, I dig it. Right. But I'm not like, oh my God, yes, Torbjorn, this is the one I was waiting for. Like,
sure. Jamerson, what about you? I mean, just the comics overall, if you've gotten to read them, like, what are your thoughts on these? Do you have a personal favorite?
Well, I love the comics, you know, fleshing out the characters the way they do. It's doing a fantastic job, giving them a lot more character. And specifically, the one with Torbjorn is honestly has done the best job of fleshing out the character, right? You kind of see him as like, oh, this gnome character, he made all the weapons for Overwatch. And then in his story, they mention now he's on a mission to try and right his wrong and make sure, you know, his inventions don't fall into the right hands. And finally being able to see it come to fruition in this comic, they did a fantastic job doing that. Honestly, he did feel very flat to me. And throughout the beta, to everyone, he was just, oh, he's Engie. He built a turret, but now you get to realize, hey, he does have a mission, and he does it in a real cool way. And, you know, it combined a lot of my favorite things, comics and giant mechs, and then just rampant destruction. So
rampant
I love it.
Destruction. I love it. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. I love how Torbjorn, they really emphasize more and more. And even with like some of his emotes and game and voice lines, it's all about, you know, take your time, make it perfect, never take shortcuts. And spoiler alert, In the comic, it's about kind of like not his arch enemy, but they used to like work together. And you know, this guy was all about taking shortcuts and doing things the wrong way. And he's all about, no, do it the right way. Take the time. And like they build turrets to go. Jimmy has to take his headphones off. That's what you get. That's what you get for not reading it. And they go like on a turret head to head thing. And Torbjorn's turret, you know, takes down Sven's turret. And it was so cool. I love a good turret duel. Good times. All right. Overwatch esports. This is the meat and potatoes of what we wanted to talk about this week. So, Jamerson, you're at the ground floor of Overwatch. And so it's so awesome to have you be here. Week one coming up on the, oh my gosh, every time, Agents Rising tournament presented by Dolby. And you're going to be there with an incredible cast, including yourself, Ask Joshy, Fishsticks, and T-Squared. And so you've got a really cool casting team coming up. So what's it like right now being on the ground floor of Overwatch as a competitive esport?
Well, while you could say I am on the ground floor, a lot of the groundwork was paved by, you know, people like ZP and Hexagram. Everything they've done with Gosu Gamers, they've done a fantastic job. The things that they're doing with Alienware Monthly Melee right now, trying out a new format. I love that they're taking these risks, and I love that we're given the opportunity to take that risk ourselves, trying a different format. So it is really exciting. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of eyes on us. And we just want to make sure we get this down pat for our fans, for Overwatch fans, for the competitive fans. And it's pretty scary, to say the least, especially on my part. I've only been casting Counter-Strike since September. So I haven't been around long. I haven't been around as long as Ask Joshy, who's been doing this since 2010, 2009, you know, back in the day doing StarCraft 2 with IGN, you know, on right next to Kevin Naki. You've got T-Squared, who I believe has been a longtime Halo caster. And then I don't know if we've announced this, but I guess I'm announcing it here. We've also got Chris Huck Loringer actually joining our casting desk. Wow. And Rachel Seltzer Carrico, she's actually going to be the host for the event.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a lot of big names, a lot of people that I've looked up to, and a lot of people who are very invested and have a lot of passion for this scene. And that's one of the most exciting things, honestly, for me, that these are people that genuinely care about the community, who have stuck around and want to see it succeed. And so we just hope to put on the best show for you guys as possible. We have lots of big names coming out. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get all the teams. You know, there were a lot of things that did come up, like Team Envious. Once they got signed, they've been flown over. They're in, what, North Carolina now at the Gamer House. So unfortunately, they're settling in, and they have to prepare for the next coming months because there's just so much Overwatch happening, right? But we do have Cloud9, we've got Gale Force Esports, formerly Code7, Team Liquid. We've even got some older like Quake players, TF2 players, a lot of names, but yeah, a lot of things coming up.
Let me ask you this question right now so we can get this out of the way early. Have you invited T-Pain?
I wish. Oh my gosh.
Is that not the best thing?
So good.
So for those of you not in the know, because John's making a face that indicates he doesn't know, T-Pain is on Twitch streaming Overwatch right now to like 6,000 people and just like running around like being, I would say, mediocre at best. But T-Pain is streaming and he's playing Overwatch and it's really cool.
Is he auto-tuned the whole time?
No, surprisingly. That's maybe a feature. We should maybe like recommend that.
I can set that up. I've got autotune set up on my soundboard, actually. I can just hit a button.
Nice.
Not happening, though. Don't worry. Not happening. Awesome. Oh, so, okay.
Payload karaoke night.
So Jamerson, something that Overwatch's critics are saying is that they're worried about the legs the game might have as a competitive esport and FPS shooter, you know, talking about art style sometimes and some of it about gameplay. For somebody who's you know, maybe a little bit skeptical. Is there anything that you would say to kind of really hammer in what you think Overwatch can be as an esport? That's a loaded question.
One of the greatest things I like to see with an esports is grassroots involvement. Since the opening of the beta, immediately someone wanted competition and they went out and started doing it. And it wasn't Blizzard. It was Gosu Gamers and everyone else trying to run these tournaments and have them consistent. And that's, I think, one of the hallmarks of a good esport, right? League of Legends didn't just pop up out of nowhere. People wanted the tournaments and they made it happen. And then Riot stepped in and was like, yeah, this is a good idea. Now we'll go ahead and support you guys and help this grow. Same thing with StarCraft, Brood Wars and Warcraft, right? I mean, Blizzard had no involvement in that whatsoever, but it was the Koreans who really wanted to push it forward. And they did. They put on their tournaments and it grew to be this huge thing. And now it's the same thing with Overwatch right now. You know, it just got launched, but in this week alone, I believe there is about 6-7 pretty big tournaments since launch date. And I think that is one of the best signs for a new esport. You can't artificially try to create this hype around it. Fortunately for Overwatch, the hype has it's already there. It's been brought. And I see good things for Overwatch. Unfortunately, there are some downsides. Currently, you know, spectating it isn't the easiest thing. Even when I try to practice my spectating, it's a little difficult, and watching streams, it is a little difficult to follow, especially if you are a new watcher. Right now, with all these tournaments trying out different formats, it's very hard for a new viewer to actually just sit down and start watching the game. They need some sort of primer, right, to really be able to watch it, figure out what the hell is going on with the format. And that's probably the biggest downside right now, that there's no consistency across the tournaments. You're not getting the same product from tournament to tournament. So that is a little bit of a hurdle, but I believe as we do stabilize and start coming up with a standardized way we want to hold our tournaments, it'll get better.
In fairness, though, I mean, that a lot of that is infrastructure stuff. And it sounds like, to your point, right, like the community is excited. They're asking for it. There are some logistical and technical challenges, right, whether that's how the tournaments are structured or when we maybe get a more robust observer experience that is a little easier to follow. And Blizzard, to their credit, has done a really good job of that in all of their recent franchises and titles. I would be shocked if they didn't step up and make a serious push for that, because I expect there to be Overwatch esports happening at this year's BlizzCon. Like, that's, I think that's a reality that's on the table now. It's a question of when, not if, right? As far as the game itself, right, like, we already know, like, the information asymmetry, the game balance, the competitive scene have all clearly made the game very popular. And it is something that I think, even if you're not clear on the format, if you tune in and you start watching a tournament, like if people tune in this weekend to watch the esports arena tournament, you don't have to know like how many rounds there are or exactly how a winner is determined to get a sense of who's doing well, right? You can tune in if you have any familiarity with the concept or the genre. What's happening on screen makes sense to you. You know what a headshot is. You know why people are trying to position themselves the way they are. Like, it's stuff that, because the formula is a little bit different, but still very grounded in the roots of traditional FPS and game design in general, anyone who's touched any kind of shooter in the last 25 years, right, back to the original Dooms and stuff, like anybody, I have friends who the last shooter they played was like GoldenEye on the N64, but they load up Overwatch and they get it. They know what's going on. They know how to figure out maps and learn the game. Like, it's a very accessible thing. I think that's huge and makes Overwatch really, really, like, it's well poised to actually be a killer esport if we can nail down that infrastructure stuff about tournaments and a really crisp viewing experience.
Yeah, and it is going to be on the backs of everyone right now, all the different tournament organizers that are putting in the legwork, and they're all doing a fantastic job. And I like that we're getting to experiment with different kinds of formats right now before Blizzard steps in and says,
makes the rules, yeah.
Exactly. So they're giving us the space. They're giving it the opportunity to organically grow instead of artificially grow. And I think one of the biggest signs of that was when it first launched, there was no competitive mode. You know, they just wanted to make sure that the gameplay was solid. And then, you know, competitive would be our next dot, would be the next thing on the chopping block. But they started off with, let's make a playable game. And they did. And then they moved on from there. And, you know, with the step-by-step, I guess, schedule that they're taking with the game, they're really taking their time, and they want to drive home that, like, this is something special for them, and they want to make sure that everyone else feels it's special before they move on to the next project. And it's very evident, and I'm glad that they're moving forward the way they are.
Absolutely. Okay. So just so we get it all out there at once, tell us... let's go this way. So the format, so we've gotten a lot of questions and emails from viewers saying, you know, what is, you know, what's going on with the formats for Overwatch? Has the competitive scene kind of, settled on one? Are we still in a kind of a heavy experimental phase? What is Agents Rising doing for this tournament?
So we've seen typically with the Gosu Gamers tournaments that they were stopwatch mode. And generally, the feelings amongst the pros and the higher level players was that stopwatch mode is the best mode for competitive in terms of showing off raw skill and teams getting what they deserve by playing well. Unfortunately, I felt, and many other people felt, that it's not the most fun to watch. You see a team attack into a payload and then all of a sudden the action stops. You don't want to have, you know, in your consideration another timer, right? You see the actual like map timer. Hey, it's already ticking down, but then you have to, like kind of draw yourself away from that. There's a disconnect there and it's like, oh, I have to also remember there's a second timer that they have to beat. And it becomes very difficult for viewers at that point who get enthralled in these games to automatically be snapped back into reality and be like, oh, wait, no, they're not going to be able to finish this off. One of the things I hated the most about stopwatch mode was hearing during cast, mathematically, it's impossible. GG, they're being called. That was not fun to watch. It stifled the hype that ZP and Hexagram would build, right? They would do a fantastic job, action's happening, and then all of a sudden, oh, GG. That was not fun to watch at all. So that's why we are seeing different formats. As we saw with the Alienware Monthly, they did the double elimination with, I believe it was payload only maps, right? During the tournament, payload only. And they tried a medal system, which I like. You know, if you finish the map, if you attack and you finish escorting the payload to the end, you get 3 points. Under 5 minutes, under 8 minutes, you get silver, which is 2 points, and as long as you finish but it's above 8, you get the 1 point. If you don't, you get 0. I like that a lot. It does incentivize teams to try more aggressive tactics, and we do see shifting of metas at that point, because sometimes, you know, trying to play double Widowmaker isn't going to be able to push that payload as quickly as possible, doesn't create as much space, right? So I like them trying that format out. I also like that they definitely tried out the overtime, King of the Hill, Hero Limited, tiebreaker. Definitely gets to see, you get to see new things. You get to see team comps that you normally wouldn't. But specifically with Agents Rising, we're doing a format. I don't know the specific name for it, but essentially, if you attack and you finish off the map, you get 1 point. If the other team successfully defends, they get 1 point. If you don't finish off the map, you get nothing. Now, if both teams finish off the map, then the one with the faster time will get an additional point. So you end up with score lines like 2-1 or 2-0. And at that point, it does create a different dynamic in the way a best of series turns out. Hmm. And you don't see, you know, an immediate like 2-0. It can actually go to a second map, but yeah, that's the general format that we're running for Agents Rising.
Great. So going into the Agents Rising tournament this weekend, do you have a few teams that are kind of your favorites or the ones that you're keeping a close eye on to do well this weekend?
Yeah, I believe our Battlefy was posted up, but we have 29 teams competing, I believe, over the weekend. And there are some exciting teams. As you know, we do have the invited teams, and they are definitely, you know, people to watch. Having Cloud9, they just won the monthly Melee. It's fantastic. But other teams that I would definitely take a look at, let me just bring it up. Right now, one of the most exciting things, you know, it's having a lot of the hacking accusations being squashed. So that's really nice, having Cloud9 actually play live and having admins there to actually watch, along with like Gale Force and all the everyone who's been accused. Unfortunately, it's going to happen in shooters, right? When you track so well. So that's exciting.
Story of my life. Yeah.
I think one of the teams to really look at would definitely be, let me see. Clutch is definitely a team, while, you know, not as well known as the other three invited teams, in their own right, all these players, Hots, Korra, Hamsword, Lumberjack, Louis, during the beta did impress me. And I remember them. I remember them wrecking me a few times. They are definitely a team to look at. I know that Korra and Hamsword and them play often together. I don't know how well they are stratted out, but they are definitely someone to look forward to. Another team I was looking at was, I believe, Poke's team. So Poke is going to be there with, let me see, I think it's the Gamer Sensei team that will be showing up. Yeah, so the current lineup for the tournament, why aren't you showing up? So the Gamer Sensei team, it's going to be Poke and Meep Meep, Spiffy. We got B-Dropped, Raffle Gator Hyped, and a nice little fun surprise in there is going to be actually Esper. So the support from Luminosity is actually going to show up because I believe he's in the area. So while we don't have the full Luminosity squad, I know a lot of these players do stack together, have stacked together often during the beta, and they should be familiar with each other, familiar with each other's play style, and are definitely a contender to see in the round of 16 and the round of 8. I expect them to make it up there. Another notable name, I mentioned it earlier on, very early on during the podcast, is going to be Winky Face. So specifically with Winky Face, one of the most exciting things to watch for is that Dyrus, former TSM top laner for, what, 4 or 5 years, is going to have his hand with Overwatch Esports, and he's brought along a crew. It's got Arinar, Nibs, Joker's Wild, OMG Lag, and Toxic, along with Tamly and Lashes. So while, you know, this is a pickup group that they've only been practicing for the last week, it's exciting to see that esports stars from other disciplines that you haven't seen many make the transition over, like League of Legends and MOBA, right, are excited about League of Legends and want to try their hand at it themselves. So definitely excited to see what Dyrus can do. I know I've faced off against them a lot during the beta, and he's a really good tank. His Roadhog is fantastic. I've watched him play Reinhardt over the last few days, and he's taken to that character really well, along with the Fraggers, R&R, and Nibs. They're doing a fantastic job. They're learning how to play, you know, the Soldier 76 and the Widowmaker and Tracer for whatever comes up. I mean, this is going to be a crazy weekend. You know, I would say expect upsets, you know, because it is a LAN, or, well, it's being played live, right, at an actual venue. And so you do have, like, those LAN jitters that might make teams stumble and give other teams the opportunity to actually rise up and show off what they have. So, yeah, those are the teams to definitely look out for right now.
Awesome. Awesome. So last thing before we get out of here, anything else you want to plug for Agents Rising this weekend? I don't know if we missed anything. I think we got everything. But is there anything else that we missed?
Well, definitely, you know, this is Agents Rising. It is a live event. We are going to be at the Esports Arena in downtown Santa Ana. So if you are in the Southern California area, definitely drop on by. It's going to be free to spectators, right? We do have an audience stage set up. We have devs coming out to sign your copies. We're going to have a lot of other events. And of course, you know, you get to see some of your favorite pro teams. You got Cloud9, we got Team Liquid, we got Gale Force, and streaming personalities are going to be there too, right? So definitely come on out. I believe the schedule is we're starting at 10 a.m. and we'll probably be finishing around 9. So you have plenty of time throughout the weekend, throughout Saturday and Sunday to make it out and actually check it out. So yeah, definitely do. Drop awesome. On by.
Awesome. Well, whew, that was a show and a half. Man, this was fun. Jamerson, first and foremost, thank you so much for being on. It was a blast having you here this week, and you can come back anytime you want. If you got Thursdays free, we'll just sit you in. You can get us all up on top of it for Overwatch esports. So thanks again for coming.
All right, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed my time here, and I hope to see some of you actually. Kevin, unfortunately, is in Canada, won't be able to make it out. I don't know where you are, John. In particular,
Colorado. I wish I could fly out with the clutch guys.
But yeah, a lot of people from across the nation are coming, so that's pretty cool. Like, they're flying in. That's really exciting. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. And if I do have an open Thursday, I would love to be on again.
Awesome. All right. Sweet. Well, no iTunes reviews this week. If you like the show, want to help boost the ratings a little bit, go ahead, go to iTunes or Stitcher, write a 5-star review, and we'll read it on the show. We'll read your name on the show. We won't read the whole thing. Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, it really helps us because we hit the top 100 podcasts in games and hobbies on iTunes. So this is a really critical week for us, especially as Overwatch is launching. So if you could do that, that would be super freaking awesome, and we would appreciate it.
Absolutely. And yeah, let's do some shout outs for the weeks and plugs and stuff like that. Jamerson, do the honors. Where can everyone find you? Any last minute plugs you want to throw in there? All the good stuff.
So all across social media, you can find me on Jet Set Jamerson, like, you know, Jet Set Radio, but with a Jamerson at the end. Remember, it's not Jameson like the whiskey. There's an R in there somewhere. I'm not too sure. But yeah, that's where you'll find me all over social media. And yeah, definitely do please support Overwatch Esports and check us out this weekend. It's going to be streamed on Twitch, twitch.tv/esportsarena. And, you know, it's going to be a long day. So at any point in the day, you can tune in and there will be games.
Awesome. Awesome. Jimmy, what about you?
Just happy to have the game launched and be talking about this and not have my profile reset anymore and not lose any skins. And I'm just excited for the future of Overwatch. And yeah. I will definitely see you, Jameson, Sunday for sure, if not Saturday as well, but definitely Sunday.
I'm so jealous. Can't wait to graduate, move out to California, and then we can just all hang out and play, watch esports and cast esports and do podcasts.
There we go.
All the week long. yeah, Kevin, what about you, man?
I mean, everybody's saying the same thing, right? It's so awesome to have this game back. If anything, actually, I need to complain a little about it because I got too many Blizzard games and I'm running out of time. I don't have time to play them all. So, you know, I'll be trying to play a little Heroes and people are barking at me like, why aren't you on Overwatch? Or heaven forbid a guy wants to get a game of Hearthstone in. It's getting crazy, man. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be trying to play lots of games this week and over the weekend. I'm going to be putting in a lot of wrench time on the Xbox version. So if you're an Xbox One player and you want to come get rolled with me horribly over on console Overwatch, hit me up on Twitter at Lack of Realism. Let me know what your gamer tag is. I'll add some people. We should get into it this weekend for sure.
Awesome. Same for me. Great to be here, man. This was fun. So let's go ahead and get out of here. Before we go, just one quick reminder for everybody. The game is now live, and on the launch day morning, Jeff Kaplan did a Facebook Q&A, and on it he said something that I've been trying to say as much as I can every day, as much as I can. And it basically said this. He goes, one, this community is what we make it, so let's make it a great one. And thanks to guys like Jamerson, Kevin, and Jimmy.
Thanks, buddy.
That'll be your couple name, Kevy, Jimmy and Kevin. and stuff, you know, kind of making it is what we make it. And second thing, be good to each other. So when you're out there rolling salt, it's okay. You'll make it. And yeah, so be good to each other. let's get out of here. So you can find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. A big thank you to Jake Butno at jakebutno.ca for our awesome intro and outro stuff, and scythedesigns.com for our logo. You can find us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Email us at thepayload@blizzpro.com. And of course, your iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated. Find us now on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addicts, and the new Google Podcasts. That's going to do it for us this week for episode number 24. We will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.